Carrie Diamond, editorial director of Cherry Bomb Magazine. We are here live today at Charleston Wine and Food.
Oh, man. Woo! Oh, man.
This is a
The crowd day. Is applauding. We have to lower that crowd noise.
Oh, gosh.
Tone it down, guys.
When we edit this, we'll lower all that applause. I am so excited.
I love you so much.
Thank you, DJ Dave.
Oh, thank you, adoring fans.
I'm here with DJ Dave. We flew down together.
Ow!
Delta, thank you. No, we paid for those tickets. I don't know why I just credited Delta.
Delta, however, if you'd like to pay for any tickets for Cherry Bomb and or FMB Radio, you can email us at fmbradio@gmail.com. Thank you.
So this is not the entire reason why I came down here, but it's a big part of why I came down here, my next guests. So my next guests are the stars and hosts of FMB Radio, which is my favorite food podcast. One of my favorite
Stop.
Podcasts.
I'm not going to be able to sit through this. This is impossible.
And it's the funniest food podcast.
Oh, my God. That's high praise.
You three are really funny. So who is FNB Radio? So FNB Radio is to my right, which doesn't matter to any of you out there in radio land, Nikki Fairman.
Hey.
There she is.
Carrie, I'm obsessed with you. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and just throw that out there.
I should do this properly. I usually do like the little like intro, and then I say, Nikki Fairman, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. So let me start over. Do overtime. All right. So we've got Nikki Fairman here. Nikki Fairman, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Carrie.
Next to her, we have Lindsay Collins, Queen of the Top Knot.
True story.
Thank you. Wow. I've been trying to get that title secured for a long time.
Queen of the Top Knot, rescuer of abandoned dogs.
True.
Yes.
Yeah, defender of the meek.
Exactly. So, Lindsay Collins, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Carrie, thank you so much. This is like an honor. I don't even know how. I had to take a nerve pill. Me and Nikki had to take
a nerve pill. I'm so excited.
It's scary.
And then,
it's an honor.
A rare appearance by a guy.
Ooh.
We let him come on Radio Cherry Bomb.
Toy bomb.
His name is Anthony Michael Hall. You might have seen him in the Breakfast Club.
Yes.
He's a dream. No, his name is Philip Michael Cohen.
It's great to be here. I often get confused with other three-named gentlemen. And let me tell you, Carrie, just to make all the ladies relax at Cherry Bomb Radio, I have very soft hands and my mother's hips. So
That's
a woman.
That's a true story.
He's a gentle soul, ladies and gentlemen.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Philip Michael Cohen, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
It's wonderful to be here, Carrie. Thanks for having us.
So the big news is, the big reason I wanted to be here was not just to have them on Radio Cherry Bomb, even though that's a thrill. The reason is because these three opened FNB HQ.
Yes!
They have their own bar / recording studio / hangout / office / everything.
Discotheque
/ workout room.
Yeah.
So I had to fly down here on Delta because
thanks, Delta.
I'm so jealous. I'm seething with jealousy. And even though I seem really happy to have you on the show, I'm not. I'm like, how the F do they have a bar and an HQ and we don't?
I think we talked about this last time you were here. We were like, we really want to have a headquarters. And you're like, yeah, duh, that's the dream. And then somehow, like, 3 weeks ago, we threw this together. And we're like, dream realized. We did it.
It's no big deal. It's just the realization of a dream. It's no big deal. Just, you know.
It's like Oprah says. You put it into the universe.
That's
yes,
right.
And
thanks,
it happens.
Oprah.
Within
Thank you,
3
Oprah.
Weeks.
Honestly,
so.
That's how it felt.
Yeah.
It felt like the universe was laying out a quick path for us to create headquarters.
It really was.
Emphasis on quick. Real quick path.
Yeah. Real quick.
Just real quick.
It's hyper
And not
speed.
Only is it a headquarters and a bar and all that, but it's in this beautiful new space out on King Street in a really happening part of Charleston.
It is. It's I like to call it upper King. That's where it is. And it's awesome. And it's in the workshop development. And
there's
a lot
parking.
Of cool, like, yeah, there's tons of parking. And we're like this little glass cube that's right in the beginning of it.
Just so a darling really, little fishbowl.
Yeah, we feel really lucky. And we're like, it's just kind of a fun place for people to be welcomed into the space to do what they're good at doing.
Now, a few more things. These three threw us a really fun book party at Monarch Wine Merchants.
That was so also
fun.
Known as the best day of my life.
It
was the best day of my life.
In December. And it was really nice that I got to hang out with these three, but even better was that Cynthia Wong was there.
Oh my God, she's amazing. Is she around? Can we get a Cynthia Wong applause?
I didn't. I invited her, but
she's probably doing a zillion things because she's extremely busy
because she's amazing.
Yeah. Thanks, DJ Dave. It's like if you build it, they will come.
Tell us why Cynthia. You guys scream something every time you see her.
Yeah. Dude, we just scream at her because we're in awe of her amazingness. She's basically a creative genius that puts things into confections, into things that you can hold in 3D.
Yeah. And not only is she like super talented at her craft, but she's 100% authentic.
Which is what
really like warms my heart.
Yeah.
And she's, what's her title?
She's the pastry chef and over the whole bread program of Butcher and Bee.
Wow.
And
the overlord daily. Of the bread program.
Yeah, she's over both their properties. I don't know how she does all she does, but she's
amazing. She'll be a future guest on Radio Cherry Bomb.
Oh yeah.
But you three are also pretty well known in the Charleston food scene.
Just in small circles.
Charleston's a small place, but you three are popular. You seem to know everybody.
That's really nice. We try. You know, we have all been on the scene for a long time in restaurants, so I feel like our network expands in that way, where we've taken care of these people for so long that now that we have a place of our own, it feels kind of weird. I was saying yesterday, it feels weird to not, like, work for someone, but still be inviting the same guests in to, like, I know their preferences, so we're happy to, like, see them in there and have it be our place.
Is this the first time you three have had your own place to run?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I kept looking around. Ever. I kept waiting for someone to be like, Nikki, can you wipe this counter that you're currently wiping? Nikki, can you stock the ice? And I'm like, but it's me. I'll just stock the ice. I got it. I'm going to manage myself.
I keep waiting for someone to tell me you have to get out. It's like, actually, this is over now. You have to leave.
You get out.
So we're going to go one by one. I want to know how you got into the biz.
Got it.
So let's start with Nikki. Mm-hmm. Nikki.
I went to school for pastry. I actually been cooking since I was really little, and I studied, and I was a pastry chef for years. And then that got to be too much, because some people are really good at it, and some people are meant to be in the kitchen, but I love people. And so then I switched everything and decided to go from pastry to bartending and cocktails and studying wine, and I found out that that's where I'm the happiest, is when I'm surrounded by humans that I can talk to and touch, because they tend to put pastry chefs in like a hideaway corner.
And by touch, you mean not literally.
No, I mean with only after asking permission and being very proper. By touching, I mean pretending to boop
touching
your nose.
Touching their hearts.
Touching their hearts.
Touching their hearts.
And that's how I got to be here and doing this, and I love it.
Yeah. Now we have a second toucher of hearts.
Yeah, it's me.
Yes,
Lindsay Collins. How did you get into the biz?
This was kind of a happy accident for me. I was going to music school and studied music my entire life, and so the restaurant schedule made a lot of sense. Like, if you wanted to play gigs or play out or do shows, you could just be like, I'll take a day off or I'll quit this job or whatever it might be. So I had lots of flexibility, and then I just slowly sort of fell in love with it. And when I was going to Berkeley in Boston, I worked for these two amazing women, Mary Catherine and Deborah, and they had a restaurant called Upstairs on the Square, and they kind of taught me what it was like to have two people like that were just really in the same page about what entertaining should be. And I was sort of bit by the bug after that.
So Berkeley's major, Berkeley Music School, what were you studying?
Piano performance.
Wow.
Yeah. I still play. I have two students. They're my little boys, but they're pretty good. They're pretty.
She's amazing. She's like a concert, and with no music, just sitting down and like it's. And she'd hit it from us. You just threw it out one day. She just sat down at a piano.
Yeah, I felt like I had known you for at least 2 years, and then all of a sudden.
I do that to you guys, though. I think I told you I was blind in one eye pretty late in the game.
It's true.
I just drop secrets
We're
on you.
We're still learning about Lindsay.
It's like I don't even know
I'm
you.
A mystery. You don't know.
Lindsay, tell us one more thing nobody knows about you.
Oh, my God. One more thing nobody knows about me. I'm deathly afraid of falling off of something. Like, I have a reoccurring dream where I just can't walk, I'm just falling over, and I kind of carefully take steps so that I'm like, I'm very clumsy in real life, and it's sort of a fear of mine all the time. If you've ever seen me walk, anybody who knows me, Lana is laughing, because if you've ever seen me walk through the dining room, it's like, I have to really be conscious not to just
throw her
fall around. It's really awkward.
That's tough for a server.
Yeah. When I worked at Perseo in New York, and when I walked, they were like, your energy, your smile is great. They're like, but you gotta not run around like you're on fire. And that's going to be your biggest challenge in being in this dining room is going to be just not being on fire.
Just master that.
Yeah, I was like, how do I do that? Is there a handbook for that?
The good news is you can run around the F&B HQ like you're fire all day long.
Which I do. Yeah. You saw me stab Phil in the eye with my...
Yeah, that was just yesterday.
I did witness that. But
now you're blind in one eye.
If anybody's lawyer gets in touch, I did not witness that.
Wasn't me.
All right, Philip's turn. How did you get into the biz?
My best friend when I was in high school, his dad owned a restaurant. And I started working there on the weekends. And I think that it's kind of a personality thing. You know, when I think about Nikki, Lindsay, and I, like, we are social. We're very social creatures. And I think that this industry attracts, or maybe once you get a taste, if you are that personality, you know, then you're like, you just kind of get bit by it. And you're like, I love this, you know. That's how it started for me, was in high school. And then I think it led into my 20s, which was very much like Lindsay. Like, I wanted to travel the world a lot and have a lot of flexibility. So I was, you know, throughout basically for 10 years, I would work for 9 months and travel for 3 months. And I did that for 8 to 10 years. And then you kind of like start to want to get serious and settle down and start to carve out your career, which I think is what's happening now, you know. But the industry has like so many different tiers, you know.
Yeah, but Phil was a dishwasher. That was my favorite. That was your first job, and then last night you were really washing a lot of dishes back there.
Yeah, I was getting back to my roots last night. It was kind of nice.
People want to see your face. He's like, I'm good.
I kind of liked it.
You got back to your roots last night.
Yeah, that was my first job washing dishes, and the women. We told all these stories before, but the women that I worked with on my very first job thought that I was mentally handicapped. Because I was not using the machine to clean any of the dishes. I was doing it all by hand. And they were being very sweet to me and speaking very slowly and enunciating everything. And I started to pick up on the fact that they thought I was special in some way. Turned out it was just, you know, I was ignorant. I'm a smart guy. I just had never used
used a professional dish machine. You just, when someone says wash dishes, you're like, I'm just going to wash it in the sink.
You're 15. You know, you never used one of those.
I'm not sure what the follow-up question to that should be, so I'm just going to switch to the girls now. So anyway.
I'll leave that one right there.
Did F&B Radio come about?
F&B Radio was my boyfriend's idea. He would always have to listen to us kind of hash out, like, stuff after work. And I think we were, like, having a bottle of wine on the porch one day and, like, just talking about post-shift stuff. And he was like, someone would listen to that because it's a lot like our show is, just, like, kind of talking about things that happen in restaurants and the not, like, in a trash-talky way about the guests, but just, like, the ins and outs, like, what it's like to be inside the server station. And that's sort of how it came to be. I didn't know a lot about podcasts at the time, but he listens to a ton of them. And he was like, no, there's, like, podcasts for people who are into Game of Thrones. Like, and they just talk about the episode, and they have a huge following. So we tried it, and because of the music school thing, I had some audio engineering background, not much, but enough to like get in GarageBand and like play around. And so we just tried it, and 2.5 years later, we're at the headquarters.
Still doing it.
Yeah, we're still
doing
it. So
it's been 2.5 years.
We're on episode 88.
Beautiful years.
Episode 88.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, we do one a week. So I think it started in May of 2015.
Best day of my life.
2016.
2015? 2016.
Okay, this is the number. Okay, yeah, 2.5.
Good for you three.
Thanks.
That's really fun.
Who is your dream guest? Or who would your dream guest be?
Actually, my dream guest is coming into the studio on Saturday.
Yes.
No kidding.
True story.
I am freaking out. Gabrielle Hamilton is going to be in the F&B headquarters studio.
And my hands are sweaty. My knees are weak.
Oh, I know.
That's a big get. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you so much.
She's
so
a tough pumped. Interview.
Oh, great.
Really?
Oh,
don't tell me that.
Don't tell me that. I don't know.
Is Gabrielle in the audience? Gabrielle's not in the audience.
Why? She's a tough cookie?
She is. I had to interview her at Fire Flower Fork in Richmond, Virginia. Late last year. And she's a tough interview because she's super substantial. She doesn't like garden variety questions like the ones I've been asking you three.
Well, we'd like to ask you to dig a little deeper.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Well, then this is going
to go poorly.
This is
going to
go poorly.
But you three are so funny, you might charm her with your...
Wit and humor. No, I think that that's our one superpower is that we trick you because people come in and they're really nervous and it's like, no, no, no. Like, it's just us. We're just talking
about
things.
Yeah, but this time we're going to be really nervous.
I already said it. I'm going to have a little stomachache. The only person that would make me more nervous is the Queen, Alice Waters.
Oh, yeah, that's a good... I mean...
Alice Waters, I just...
I just already put that out of the realm of possibility.
I mean, I got big dreams. Well, no, I actually ran into her in a restaurant, and it was an empty restaurant, and she walked in with, like, the sun on her face, like, sparkling blue eyes, and I would never interrupt anybody, but I was just sitting there, and someone was like... But I didn't.
But I hugged her.
I held back. I sent her a dessert and a love note. I didn't.
That was at Via Carota, right?
It was at Via Carota, and I just stared at her wishing that she was my mom. I love you, Mom. You're fine. I love you, too. But it was just something about Alice Waters just makes my heart a flutter.
She is pretty magical. She spoke at the Jubilee Conference in San Francisco.
Of course she did.
And she's, I don't know, she's sort of like this combination of Yoda and Mother Teresa.
That's exactly how I
Mother
imagine
Nature.
That's how we see it, yeah.
Exactly. She's like always holding a carrot. I just love her so much. I love her so much.
But you really just, you just listen to her and you feel like everything she says is just sort of magical and...
Yeah.
I don't know, she's like speaking from the universe.
Yeah, I feel like she's lived like 10,000 lives and has all this wisdom and could probably solve all my problems.
Yes.
Well, she's slowly been solving problems for years. Like bringing people back to where we are and I just... God, yeah, I just love huge. Her. So.
You just made me think of something Danny Meyer once said about how work is just a series of problems that you have to solve.
I agree with that. That's so true.
So, but I was going to say, you know that now that you have your own business, but having been servers, bartenders, all of that, your life was probably filled with guests' problems.
Yeah.
All the problems.
Customers' problems.
I'm here to solve your problems. I'm here to suppress my problems. We're here to cause solutions, not problems.
I think business is like it's problems, and then in between the problems, there's like gaps of fun.
And sandwiches.
You know? Yeah.
Doesn't that sound great?
It's like sprinkled with a good time. It's like problems with like Jimmy's on top.
Yeah.
You know?
So I stopped by your opening last night.
That made me cry when I saw you walk up. It was still early. We had only been open like 20 minutes, and we were like, oh, man, it's Carrie Diamond.
Hey, girl. We just clapped.
We just clapped. All of us were just clapping. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Even though it was my first time there, I felt very much like it would be Cheers for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know,
I don't. Is Cheers a dated reference anymore?
No, I totally get it.
Don't you want to go where everybody knows your name?
Hello.
And they're always glad you came. I keep going.
Hello, Norman.
No, I think I hope that it will be. That's kind of like the whole genesis of it was like, where do people like us want to go when we get off? And not only that, but what do they want to drink? Mm-hmm. And it's a really small bar. Like it's a silly small like amount of liquor that we have because it's just a few cocktails that Nikki so brilliantly creates.
Just a couple of little things.
And they just change all the time. And then the wine list is like whatever we're into, but...
And I think that's one of the things like that is maybe a little bit unique about our spot is that we're trying to be the industry hangout, not necessarily, you know what I mean? We want our chef friends, we want our front of the house, back of the house people coming and hanging out with us there. I feel like it's a slightly different model than like wanting a bunch of customers, which we also want, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
the setup of it is like, what does industry...
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, we have Fernet, like, you know, we have, like, the things that we think the industry people are going to be into, because that's what we're into.
And everybody, too. But the thing is, it's just not having a lot of things just to have them, you know, like... Somebody, if you want a scotch, we just don't have a scotch right now. Maybe we'll have one later. I don't know. Yeah. We might get a wild hair. Who knows?
There always ends up being places that turn into industry hangouts, like inadvertently, right?
Right, right.
For certain reasons or another, like if it's their location or the stuff that they have or the prices that they have. And so we're trying to cultivate that in real life
cultivate
instead of letting
cuddle
it happen.
Cuddle.
So let's talk about the cocktail list. I did not know it was the work of Miss Nikki.
Oh, man.
But I was really thrilled to see that you even have a cocktail dedicated to Kat Kinsman.
Oh, listen. So we've got... I was scrolling through all of our podcasts, and I love all the titles. I just... It makes me... I can remember each and every one, but our fairy godmother, Kat Kinsman, who is easily one of the greatest people alive.
Easily.
She's a queen. That was what we named her show, is Oh My Goth.
Oh My Goth was the name of her show.
And so for her, and just, you know, I just want to make her proud, really. Yeah. But it's sort of like a charcoal gin Collins. I need to make a Lindsay Collins. I'll make you one.
Yeah. Where's that?
But so it's just like fresh squeezed lemon juice. We've got in some charcoal and agave and gin, and then I finished it with a blood orange slice and a little Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
I was saying that handing it to people, but when it comes from me, it's like Hail Satan. You know, just not a lot of people got it. That's on me. But so that one was named after her, and then I named one, or there's one called Fire Me, which is the name of the episodes, and that was named after an amazing chef named Emily Hahn, and it's a spicy little number just like her.
That's right. That's fun. The cocktail list is awesome. Nikki has been at Fig almost as long as I have.
Yeah,
I guess I'm officially not working there anymore. Wow.
Bye, girl.
But she always wrote probably 85% of the cocktails on their list. So she's got an incredible palette for things that I find that are like
extraordinaire.
Yeah, like they're not too out there. They're not too pedestrian. They're like right in the sweet spot of what you want to drink.
So for folks who want to visit, fly down to Charleston just to go to F&B headquarters, what are your hours?
Thursday to Sunday. 5 to midnight-ish. I think we're going to see how it plays out. Probably open later. We can serve technically until 2.
You got a late flight, call us. Yeah. We'll just
text me.
Tell
text
Delta
me,
we'll to call save. Us. And then we will save you a spot.
Can you rent the space for private parties?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
You totally can. We're there. We have the space full time. So during the day, we'll be taping the podcast there in front of a live audience Saturdays and Sundays. And you can kind of come see those shows. But if you wanted to rent the space from Monday to Wednesday, or anytime, really, I guess. Anytime.
Yeah. Anytime.
Yeah. Anytime. You got the money, I got the time. Like, we're in.
So you have a 4-day work week.
Yeah, essentially. Oh, yeah.
That's sweet.
We're very French, good. Carrie.
Well, and if you think about it, like, so Phil and Lindsay both have beautiful, beautiful children. Lindsay has 2 beautiful boys. And Phil has a gorgeous little girl. And I have a wonderful husband. I don't have any kids, but you know, but 4 days is the only, we're, you know, that's how we wanted to start it off and just see how it goes. We're dipping a toe in. Ain't nobody mad?
Yeah. Have you read the book, The 4-Hour Work Week?
I listened to it on tape.
No, really?
Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Work Week. No.
What's that like? I want that job.
Yeah.
I know, right? I think you need to read
didn't
it.
Didn't he get into like sumo wrestling and stuff? Like I listened to it and I was like, bro.
Because you already managed to shave one day off the traditional work week. Yeah. So now I think you need to shave all the hours off and just get down to a 4-hour
Oh, yeah,
work
that would
Carrie,
be
good. Carrie, you're speaking my language. Phil, Lindsay, let's listen up.
Nikki's already giving her shifts away. She's like, no, I got to take off.
Listen, there's only so much sunshine. I don't like to work all the time.
Yeah, if we had a DJ Dave, I could really take the full week off.
No kidding,
DJ Dave is killing it.
Listen, it's DJ Dave.
Oh, this is great.
I love this.
Dave, it's real nice in Charleston, honey. Huh? It's nice down here.
Don't you want to come down here?
You know?
Aren't you tired of all the hustle and bustle?
It does get tiring, but let's talk about Charleston because we are very happy to be here. Some weird weather episode is going on back in New York.
Yeah, there's a nasty nor'easter up there.
Bomb cyclone things. Yeah. And of course, I left all my windows open because I...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I was painting. Not me personally, but painting was happening in my apartment. So hopefully my apartment is not filled with rain or snow or ice or whatever.
It's smoky, okay.
But right now...
Dusty, close.
Dusty.
But that was super close.
But it's Dusty Springfield.
Dusty was relocated because of the painting, so she's fine. She's fine.
Good. She's so cute.
Thank you for asking. She's the world's prettiest cat.
She really is.
No, I live for her. That's okay. We're obsessed with cats. I want to talk about cats.
Like... plush like velvet.
It is, and you haven't even met her.
No, I can just see the you know, I'm into animals.
No, we're connected spiritually. I got her name wrong.
You know about me and animals.
I got the energy right.
All right, I'm into animals. I'm an animal person. So,
Lindsay's weird dog.
I do want to talk about Charleston, but we have to talk about this dog situation because I have been...
Oh, God.
I don't spend an inordinate amount of time on Instagram, but Lindsay, I should let her tell the story. No, this wonderful dog came into her life. Some rare breed of North Carolina dog showed up on her doorstep.
Yes.
And she took this dog in, and of course, because it's Lindsay Collins, the dog Lindsay happened Collins. To be knocked up.
Yeah. That's my life. I was like, no other kidding. People are like, adopt, don't shop. Oh, it's the right thing to do. And then I get a dog. I get the most white trash thing ever, like a pregnant dog. Pregnant
don't dog. Say that about Ada.
She knows her dog. She's beautiful. Yeah, exactly. And it was like, they're like, oh, she'll probably have the puppies on Christmas Day. And I was like, are you kidding me?
What is this?
And I said, puppy placenta is not in my plan for Christmas Day. That's not what I'm going for. But
Lindsay was trying to be sweet and adopt a dog. Oh, she adopted eight dogs.
Yeah, eight dogs, two kids.
But they ended up being the cutest puppies in the entire world.
And well, you documented the entire thing on Instagram.
Yeah, that's on me. Well, I was trying to find them homes. I was like, I don't want to have these seven puppies a day longer than 8 weeks. I got to get them out of here.
You can't be that girl.
That's a long time.
In many ways, I was like, this should be my job description. I'm like, if I can take these stray dog and her puppies and turn them into this on Instagram, it's somebody give me a job in marketing. That's all I'm saying.
It's almost as if you could turn a podcast into a bar.
That's true. Oh my God.
I mean, I'm just spitballing here.
It's like I could probably do that too. We could do it.
You need something transformed. Reach out to Lindsay Collins, ladies and gentlemen.
If you got a pile of shit that you want to turn into something that's not a pile of shit.
If you want it to turn into a cloud covered in rainbows, call Lindsay Collins.
That pays you money somehow. That would be...
If you
want to
work 4 hours a week.
Yeah.
We're going Lindsay Collins for the two-hour work week.
Six figures. I can guarantee you six figures. Give me one Instagram account in 6 months.
And a pregnant dog.
Give me a homeless dog and an Instagram account.
No, but you know what the best part is the dogs now have their own Instagram, so they're out in the world with their new names, and they got their own followers.
We saw one of them came to the bar last night.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I missed the old true story. Yes.
After you left, lady,
damn it.
Lady whose new name is Nico, came into the bar. And I just ran out the door and was just crying, and we had that moment like the lion that found its owner again. And I was like,
Christian.
I'm in there mixing drinks. Lindsay's crying outside.
It was Christian
with the dog.
I didn't know what was going on.
I can't believe I flew all the way to Charleston on Delta.
God,
and
on
did
Delta.
Not see the puppy at Girl. The bar.
I'm going to get one in there. If you come back, I'm going to call
about
him.
30
and be like,
minutes. Man.
There's six of them around Charleston. We're planning a birthday party for year one. Oh, man. I don't know how this turned into puppy dog radio.
I can't even.
I'm just glad that you loved them as much as I did, because they really did. They warmed my heart with their
sweetness.
Well,
you do have a great cat cafe here that...
Pounce!
That we were denied entrance to.
Oh, that was messed
and
up.
And by the way, we're on the radio, Pounce.
You have to make a reservation for that boy.
No, we did.
I know.
We made
the
reservation.
Record show. Is that what that...
Yes,
yeah.
Let the record show.
Let the record show. We made a reservation.
We sure did.
And we got there, and they said... That we're sorry, someone made a reservation right before you and we forgot.
And we forgot. But I will say that it's magical once you go in there. I went in there with my little...
I know. I'm just talking trash.
I know, because let the record show that we were really excited.
Let the record show that we did go out of our way.
Let the record show. We were squealing all the way there, excited to hold a cat.
I love the cat cafe trend, but the reason I brought it up...
Wait, do you work at Pounce?
The reason I brought it up was not to trash... the people who own the cat cafe in Charleston, but to say I could see the day when you have a puppy cafe.
Oh my God. Well, it's a mixed space. Maybe we'll put them in the headquarters. If they were still around, they would have totally been at the headquarters. Like, we would have set up a little window so they could have...
Well, that's actually, it's sort of like a Boilermaker with a cocktail. It's I hand you a cold beer and a puppy, and then it's very expensive.
Yeah. I had one of the puppies left, and I was lucky enough to get invited to Cynthia Wong's for a Sunday dinner. And I was like, I have this puppy, and all the other puppies were gone, so the last puppy was depressed. And I was like, come on, Shaggy. Like, you're coming to dinner. And she was like, fuck a bottle of wine. If everybody doesn't show up with a puppy, then you're the only person. Like, that's the new bottle of wine.
You got to show up.
You don't show up without a puppy to someone's Sunday dinner.
Did Shaggy find a home?
Yes.
Yes.
Aww.
Shaggy found a home.
I mean, and my in-laws got one. I know it.
They did.
Just keeping it in the family.
Dave's amazing.
Yeah. No, he's incredible.
Talk
Dave is real beautiful
second.
In Charleston. A lot of attractive people. Yeah. You'll love it here.
You could say.
I'm just saying.
You can join them.
At the rate F&B is blowing up, you're going to need your own engineer pretty soon.
Yes, we will. Dave.
I like it when you say
that. Oh, my God.
Like
that sounds so exciting.
Okay,
we just want to be like you.
Let's talk about Charleston.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because Charleston is a happening food city.
It is.
And there are a lot of listeners out there who probably have Charleston on their like travel bucket list.
Yeah.
So tell me some of the cool food things they need to do when they come to Charleston.
Oh man, I think it's so hard to like narrow the list down. For me, what I get really excited about are the pop-ups. So if you can find a way, we should have a collective running list of what pop-ups are where, because I feel like a lot of people who are visiting, I'm like, oh, you got to catch Short Grain, but it's on this Tuesday night at Edmund's Oast, which they are going to be popping up in the space where we're at too. But the pop-ups are fun. If there's restaurants like The Ordinary, I think are like super essential if you're having seafood in Charleston. Like, that's like a don't miss for me.
And that's my big thing is come to Charleston, eat some seafood. Eat all of the seafood. There's delicious fried chicken and all those other southern foods that you like, but the shrimp here is better than anywhere else in the world. I mean, we've got awesome fishermen with fish that you've probably never heard of and cannot wait to eat.
Triggerfish.
Tigerfish,
as it gets called. They're just like, I'll have the tigerfish.
And we're like, that's it's a triggerfish. I know what you're talking about.
I got it.
Yeah, but like red porgy and all of these wonderful things. But yeah, come to Charleston in the spring. Let's remind everybody, don't come to Charleston in August. You don't want to do that. I know the flights are cheap.
This is the best, you know, from here until May is the best time.
It's a dream.
Totally. Before it's oppressively hot. For me, the pop-ups I absolutely love in town, and that's what I've been into lately. And amazing restaurants like The Ordinary and spots like that I think are awesome. For me, growing up here in Charleston, if somebody came here, where would I send them? I would send them to Bowen's Island. I would send them to Bertha's. You know, I would go for like the just been there forever, authentic, like down-home Charleston places. Because everybody knows about all the top restaurants that are getting all the press. And I feel like people are starting to find out about the pop-ups because they're awesome, you know. And that really is what I've been into. But if somebody came here from, you know, Oregon and said, I want to experience Charleston, you know, I would send them to Bowen's. Like, because that's, for me, it's just like...
Yeah. Rodney's Scott Barbecue.
Yeah, Rodney's.
Rodney's is amazing. And I think, like, so quintessentially, like, Southern fare at its finest. But
so are any of you from Charleston? Are you native? What do you call a Charleston
Charlestonian.
Native? A Charlestonian.
A Charlestonian. Philip Michael Cohen.
I was not born here.
Oh.
What? I've lived here since 81. So Charlestonians would say that I'm not, you know... But basically, come on.
Where were you born?
I was born in Connecticut.
He was born in Connecticut.
Oh my God! What?
I was born in Connecticut. Yeah.
Wow,
Phil, do I even know you?
Does that explain that Yankees hat?
That's why I'm a Yankees fan.
Oh,
yeah.
I had no idea. Totally. I'm from South Carolina. I was born and raised, but like in the middle of nowhere, not Charleston. My parents met in Charleston, and they went to school here, like high school. But I've been coming to Charleston my whole life, but I was not raised in Charleston proper.
Yeah, and I was born in California, military brat, so I'm from nowhere. That's not true. Lexington, North Carolina. But my husband's born and raised here. Does that count?
Oh, yeah.
At least you know someone.
I know someone.
You're married in.
I did. I did. Married in, married up. He's a nice man.
So tell me what you three do in your off hours. Do you cook? Do you just sleep? Do you... I know you play with puppies, but
I do a lot of dishes.
You change a lot of diapers.
I do a lot of cooking. Yeah, I wipe a lot of butt.
How old is your little girl?
She's about 11 months old.
Aww. She's a supermodel.
She is. Yeah, that's what I do in my off time.
Yeah.
Oh,
see, I definitely cook.
You cook.
I think Nikki, I always joke that Nikki's the best chef Southeast. Every year in my book, Nikki's an incredible cook, and she'll be like, oh, honey, it's not a big deal. I'm just braising like a crown pork roast. I'll come over and just be like, what are you doing? Like,
it's incredibly
elaborate, the things that Nikki makes at home on her day off.
Well, I'll have you over again.
Yeah.
Carrie, we'll have you over too. Everyone in New York, just come on over. Gotcha.
Nikki's house is very welcoming. There's always something nice to eat there.
Is that your hobby, Nikki? Cooking?
Cooking, and I like to do a lot of outdoor stuff, too. My husband's a very, very talented rock climber. I like to hike and do a little bit of rock climbing. But also, I mean, in Charleston, like paddleboarding and kayaking and things like that. It's awesome.
Okay.
It's beautiful here. There's
Lindsay, hobby?
I definitely cook a lot. That's one of my main hobbies. And then now it's mostly just me trying to go on runs with my dog, because now that the puppies are gone, she has way more energy than I realized.
Who
so
knew?
I'm like a weird dog person now. I've turned into a weird dog person. That's what
I love weird dog people.
But I cook a lot, and I get really into making cocktails. I've been working on my home bar game. I like to be able to, I'm not a mixologist like Nikki, but I like really want to be.
She got skills.
In my free time, I like to.
Your home bar is definitely nicer than my home bar.
Thanks. It's nice. Pretty good. I just ask her, I'm like, what should I get for this? What's a good rye to get? Yeah, she always hooks
all
me
of
up.
It.
But yeah.
Anthony Michael Hall, hobbies?
Oh, I have lots of hobbies. I'm a big hobby guy. I'm an avid table tennis player, Carrie.
He's incredible.
He's incredible.
I'm really into ping pong.
Big time.
Big
it's
time.
Strange.
Are you going to have a ping pong table at
there's
the
a,
headquarters?
There's a ping pong ball here, or a ping pong bar here.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Home.
Home. H-O-M.
Yeah, love those guys.
Yeah.
And Pete.
Yeah.
Love you.
Okay. We should get one. We should get some. I wanted to get a pinball machine for headquarters, but they're really expensive, so maybe we'll get a...
We can't do that at headquarters. I get way too sweaty when I pong.
I pong.
Sweaty ponger.
We can't have that at the shop.
We're already getting sweaty.
So serious question. Since you have so many years of combined restaurant and bar experience, now that you get to do your own damn thing, what are you doing differently to make it be the place that you always wished your workplaces were?
Well... I would say one of the things that we've done is we've stripped down setting up and breaking down
yes.
to an absolute bare science.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Explain what that means for people who haven't worked in bars or restaurants.
You know, a lot of times if you work at a place that opens at 5, you're getting there 2 hours before-ish.
Folding napkins,
setting
polishing,
up, polishing
glassware,
doing
juicing
everything
lemons,
that you need to do.
Cleaning bathrooms.
Yeah, doing all those things. We've made choices, I would say, that strip away a lot of those duties, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of probably not a fair situation, but because we're all such veterans, we don't have to write like a strict list of opening cider. Like things just kind of get done. And that's really freeing because you don't have to worry about like, oh, whose job is this? It just all kind of flows to where it feels like you don't have to tell people what to do and you don't have to be let down by people. Yeah. But I think the glassware is the biggest game changer for our restaurant or bar. It has like really minimal glassware. That it's just the turnaround is super easy. Like we closed and we're out of there at 12:05. Like
we
shut the doors
so
at 12
good.
And we walked out of there at 12:05.
It was so nice. And also we don't serve food. We don't serve any food. The food is served around us.
Yeah.
But people forget
we're
that.
Surrounded by food.
I've just dreamt about a bar for forever and just you don't have to do there what a plate? I don't have one.
Yeah.
Let's go see if we can get you one. I don't know. It's marvelous.
And I think the wine list doesn't cater to things that I think a lot of people feel pressure to put things on there that, you know, a Sauvignon Blanc drinker would like, a Chardonnay drinker would like. We were just kind of like, we don't have a lot of space, so it's just exactly what we like. And we kind of just said, sorry, like, I hope you like this. We love it. And it doesn't have something for everyone. And that makes me happy because I feel like, you can't please everyone all the time anyway, so it gets so tiring to try to like explain what your vision is to somebody and say, well, this is like our version of a Chardonnay. Like,
right.
We're just not doing that.
Yeah.
All right, last question. Who would you just pass out with joy over if they walk through the doors of your new bar?
Jared Leto. Wrong answer? Food-based. I don't know.
No, it could be anybody.
Jared Leto. Is that okay?
That's honey, great.
Hayden, I love you.
Why is that so exciting?
I don't know. Okay. It was just, I really just went with it. It was the first thing that came to my head.
Yeah. Okay. What do you got?
I don't know. You follow him on Instagram?
This is so cheesy, but Thomas Keller, because I worked for him for so long, I think I would just be like overcome with something. I don't know what emotion it would be, but like proud, but also like humbled, but also... just like, oh, it mattered what I did there for 5 years. It mattered enough that you, like, walked through the door. I think that would be amazing. That would be huge for me.
But that would be the day you can't run around like you're on fire.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got my lips together, Chef.
Point you down.
Anyone but today.
He would hate these flyaways, I can tell you that. He'd be like, you got to really get something in there. Tighten them up. Tighten them up. Is that cologne? Take that off. You can't wear that. No, I
that was a
that.
Way better answer, Lindsay.
What
sorry,
about
guys.
You, Phil?
I didn't mean to lay right down. I'm not that deep. Go ahead.
Philip.
My person.
Wait, can I ask a question? Do you say Philip Michael or you just say Philip?
I just call him Phil.
Just Phil.
But on the show, I always call him Philip Michael Cohen.
Okay. Yeah, Philip Michael Cohen's like my, you know, professional
stage name.
Got it.
Barry, you can call me Phil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done.
I think there's many people I think that would blow my mind if they came in. But if I had to pick one in the industry, it'd probably be Andrew Knowlton.
Who?
Andrew Knowlton.
I think
Andrew Knowlton walked in.
Well, you've already had that experience.
I know, but if I had it again, I think it would be like even more.
But that would be easy to get Andrew there. We can just text him right now.
I'm picking him because I think it's attainable. You know, it's not Margot Robbie. I'd say Margot Robbie.
All right. Like, I said Jared Leto. I just said it. I didn't mean to say it.
Maybe I should shoot for. A reasonable dream, and I think it's Andrew Knowlton.
Low-hanging dreams, baby.
We'll make sure
Andrew Knowlton is not a low-hanging dream, though. I have a crush on him, too.
Is he on your Oprah dream board that you made?
Oh, yeah, he's up there. He's up there.
He cut out his face very carefully.
Kidding me?
I want to just say, though, that Philip Michael Cohen was like, we saw him at the Williams and Sonoma party last year. I was like, oh, my God, that's Andrew Knowlton.
Did you just call it Williams and Sonoma?
Yeah, did
Williams
I say?
Sonoma.
I think it's just Williams Sonoma.
Oh, damn.
Remember that time?
That's so like what my grandma calls it, the Walmarts. Okay. Okay.
Has Molly Ringwald been down to see you yet?
Did you plan a song? Did you work on it?
Phil saw him and was like, oh, I know that guy. He was at Bar Normandy last night. I was like, that's Andrew Knowlton.
You're going to call me out?
God damn it.
We did.
And now Phil's like, what's up, Andy?
And I was like,
I'm more comfortable if I don't know who they are. Okay. I'm more relaxed.
It is a gift.
Okay. That's
a gift
true. That you have. Well, but now that he knows who he is, that's his dream guest.
It is.
We might be able to make your dreams come true. That's what we do here at Radio Cherry Bomb.
That is what you do.
Well, this was a dream come true for me.
Oh,
truly.
God.
Truly.
We're so honored.
It was a dream for us.
Whenever I talk about you, because I do talk about F&B Radio a lot, the number one question everyone says to me is, how do you spell that?
Yeah, oh man, I fucked that up.
Remember that time we had a visual pun? That's on us.
I was like, this will be hilarious. And everyone's always like, how's effing Bradio going? And they're like, fuck.
That's on us.
It's a visual pun. I'm sorry. My hope is that it will one day be so big that it'll just be known how to say it. Right. And it won't matter.
If people can figure out who's the chick that's in Lady Bird? Saoirse? If people can figure out how to say Saoirse. They can figure out F&B Radio.
I believe in us. I hope so.
We can't change it now.
For the listeners at home, why don't you just spell it for
them? Oh, it's EFFINBRADIO, and you can email us at FNBRadio@gmail.com. That's EFFINBRADIO@gmail.com to send us some email.
Oh,
I always hit that with sorry, I just blacked out. I usually end that with a commercial.
And F&B stands for?
Food and Beverage.
And thanks butterflies for, and rainbows.
Food and Beverage. And then obviously radio. We took a little leaf out of your book. I was like, I've been a fan of Radio Cherry Bomb since before we did the podcast. So this is huge for us.
Aww.
This is really seriously, wow.
Well, this won't be your last appearance on Radio Cherry Bomb.
I just want to be with you all the time.
I mean, we can talk about this. I'm hoping it will happen, but you might be at Jubilee.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You two might be our roving reporters at Jubilee.
No, we'll be there. Oh, my God. I'm so glad you brought that up because I thought maybe you forgot and I really want to come. So.
No, we're planning on it. We're
not
booked.
Forget.
We're going to call Delta. Delta, are you out there? Delta, if you want to get us a
Delta, if you would like to sponsor Lindsay Collins and Nikki Fairman to fly and videotape themselves flying on Delta saying funny things, you can reach us at fnbradio@gmail.com.
That was really nice.
Thank you. I had to look up to
that
figure it out.
That was very fast.
You know who I think is the bomb?
Oh, who?
You three.
Carrie, you're the bomb!
Carrie, you're the bomb. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for everything that you do with Cherry Bomb. It's inspiring. We've loved everything this year. We love you. Thank you.
Yeah. You're a beacon to so many people, namely us, for doing all the things right that make sense and using your voice in a way that is so inspiring. And I feel like ours is so silly sometimes. I'm like, we got to get our shit together and do more like Carrie.
But you use your powers for good and not for evil, and I love that.
Yes, you're amazing, and we love you.
Love you so much.
All right.
Thank you. That's it for this segment of Radio Cherry Bomb. Thank you to Phil, to Lindsay, to Nikki. Be sure to go visit their brand new, spanking brand new bar, F&B F&B headquarters.
H-Q. F&B HQ.
It's too many letters.
Okay. It stands for headquarters.
It's just fine. HQ.
Go everybody find knows. It. You'll have a blast.
1503
Talk to the three of them. And thank you to everybody for listening. You're the bomb.